I want to welcome everybody here this morning, and especially a happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. And we have a little Father's Day gift for all the fathers. And if you did not receive one of these, if you're a father and you did not get one of these, then raise your hand and we'll make sure you get one. Any of our fathers did not get one? Okay, now kids, these are not for you. Okay, these are for the fathers. Last time we gave out coloring books, we had kids, well, we got all these extras, and they took all the coloring books. We had moms that weren't here that didn't get them. We have dads that aren't here today, so if you're not a father, don't take one of these. All right, we want to make sure all the fathers get that little small token for them, but it is just something to let them know how much we appreciate our dads. We are talking about encounters with Jesus, and again, before we begin the lesson, I want to remind you, I don't have a slide up here for it, as I told you before, but this evening, 5 o'clock, here in the auditorium, we'll be seeing the movie God's Compass. So I want to encourage you to come back and share that time with us and enjoy that movie. We're talking about encounters with Jesus, and this morning, we're going to be talking about the demon-possessed man, right? And as we've been talking about throughout this study, we're doing lessons on different people that had encounters with Jesus, but not just any people, but specifically broken people, people that were having some kind of struggle, some kind of sin issue, some kind of things that were going on in their life where they needed to meet Jesus. And we're looking at what the results of that encounter with Jesus really brought. One of the principles we've been talking about is that it doesn't matter how broken somebody is. Jesus has the ability to fix our brokenness. One of the lies that Satan tells us is that we are too broken for God. That we've done too many bad things or had too many bad things happen to us or whatever the story is. Satan tells that lie to get us to keep us from going to Jesus and allowing Him to fix us. We cannot be too broken for God to be able to fix, because He specializes in fixing broken people. That's what He is about. God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for our brokenness. Okay? And He would not have done that if He was not capable of fixing our brokenness. Now, there's a couple of things that we have to keep in mind. One is that all of us have been broken, or are broken in one way or another. We've all been broken by sin. We have all, at times in our lives, been broken by tragedies and by other things that have happened in our lives. And so we all then need God. Okay? The other thing that we need to understand is that people in God's eyes are always worth fixing. Again, we are God's creation. He loved us enough to create us. Okay? And He is never going to stop loving us. By His very nature, He is love. And so we are always worth fixing to Him. But in order for that fixing to take place, we have to allow Jesus to do it. He will not force His way into our lives. As we've been saying all along, we need to remember, Jesus is a gentleman. He knocks at the door and He offers Himself, but He will not force His way into our lives. We have got to allow Him to fix our brokenness. We're talking about this man who was possessed by demons. We begin by talking about living in the tombs. Let me cause you to think about this particular thing here. How broken? How broken do you have to be to live in a cemetery? Just think about that a moment. Okay? How broken does a person have to be to live in a place like this? Okay? That's where this man was living, was in the tombs. Okay? And when Jesus arrived there with His disciples in the boat, the man ran out to Him, and he's described by Mark as having an evil spirit, but not just any evil spirit. This man, because of what was going on with him, he regularly caused problems for everybody around him. Okay? His brokenness was not something that he kept to himself, in other words. His brokenness affected all kinds of other people. And we can get an idea from Mark's narrative about how much his brokenness affected others by looking at a couple of the statements that Mark makes about his condition and his situation and what was going on. They tried to bind him with chains. Now that says a lot, doesn't it? Just that kind of a statement, realizing that why would you have to bind someone with chains if they weren't causing problems? Right? So this guy was causing problems enough with people that they were trying to keep him bound, to keep him from doing the things that whatever it was he was doing and causing problems and wreaking havoc around them. But no one, Mark says, could bind him anymore. He was at a point in the physical strength that the spirits gave him that no one was able to bind him anymore. Notice the anymore. Apparently, earlier on, they were able to bind him, at least for a while. But no one could bind him anymore. Then Mark says this, they tried often. So this was a recurring thing that was going on. This wasn't just something where, this guy got an evil spirit and he caused some problems and then he went off on his own after they tried to bind him. He says, well, I'm not going to hang around these guys, and he went off to the tomb. No, this was something that was ongoing and recurring. That this man was wreaking havoc. He was causing problems with the people in the village that he lived near. And it was ongoing, and they often were trying to do what they could. But no one was strong enough to subdue him. Mark then goes on to describe for us that at night, this man oftentimes from the hills and from the tombs would cry out. Again, what kind of person, how broken do you have to be to live in a cemetery? Well, this man describes that kind of person. He was in misery. What does it look like for a person that has a legion of demons in them? I don't know. But here's a picture, an artist's rendition of perhaps maybe what that might look like if you could see it physically. In total misery, total brokenness, that he was living in the tomb, that nobody could do anything with him. They certainly didn't want him living in the village. Interesting thing about this story is that I think it's Matthew's account tells us there were two men. Some people say, well, was there one or was there two? Is this a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction. Most likely what's happening is that there were two men. I don't think that one of them would have said there were two if there really weren't. But then we say, well, why does the other gospel writers only mention one? Well, probably, I think this is a plausible explanation, probably the one that is being focused on perhaps was a more well-known member of the community and family and so forth before he was possessed by the demons. The other person, who knows? But it's possible that this one was more well-known, and that's where the focus is by the other gospel writers, is on this one. I think that plays out as the story unfolds. A little bit more is that kind of an idea. This one man probably was very well known at one time and perhaps even well respected in his village, in his community, until the demons took over. And then no one could do anything with him. So he lived in the tomb. Broken people often do find themselves in very desperate situations. And there's a saying in the field of psychology that I work in a lot of times with folks, and there's a saying that basically goes like this, hurt people hurt people. That's oftentimes what happens. When someone is hurting, they often take their hurt out on other people, and they hurt other people. you can see where this man, obviously, he would have been hurting, wouldn't he? He'd be in misery. And apparently was taking his hurt out on everybody else. So they tried to bind him with chains, and it got to the point where they couldn't do that anymore. Nobody could subdue this man. At least not up to that point. People that are in that kind of condition, they just generally cry out for help. The problem oftentimes is that a lot of folks don't recognize that cry for help. We don't pay a whole lot of attention to it, or we just simply don't want to get involved. But Jesus did. That brings us to our second point. Dressed in his right mind. Well, how did he get to that point? Well, we need to go back and look at a little bit more of the story first to understand exactly what was going on. And first of all, to realize that the demon immediately recognized Jesus. Okay? When Jesus and his disciples showed up there on the shore, they got out of the boat, this man came up to Jesus, fell at his feet. He recognized who Jesus was. And he made this statement. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? And you need to understand the significance of this, because this is Satan. This is demons that are in this man that are recognizing who Jesus is as the Son of the Most High God. They acknowledge who Jesus is there. You know, it's interesting to me that we have a lot of people today in the religious world, okay, who do not recognize who Jesus is. They don't recognize who Jesus is. They say, well, you know, yeah, he was probably, but he's not God. They'll say he's all kinds of other things, but they deny his deity. Demons recognize who Jesus is. They know who. And not only do they recognize who he is, but they know that they are subject to Jesus' power. And that's very significant. Okay? Notice some statements that the demon makes to Jesus. Okay? And how these things unfold as to bringing this man from the misery that he was in, the brokenness that he was in, to the point where Jesus was able to rescue him from that brokenness. Okay? The first one here is, swear to God that you won't torture me. Now, what does that say about Satan and his lack of power against the power of God? Do you recognize that? That Satan recognizes he is subject to the power of Almighty God, such that he would beg God to say, please don't torture me. He says they beg him not to send him into the abyss. Now, Mark's version says to send him away from the area, okay? But I think it's Luke's version that says into the abyss. What is the abyss? It is hell, okay? It is hell. It is the prison where all the damned go and will be for all eternity. The demon begged Jesus. And that's significant there too. The idea of saying he begged him. Recognizing his authority and power over that demon. That Jesus could do anything with him he wanted to. And so the demons were begging Jesus not to send them into the abyss. And then here's another really, I think this is an awesome statement right here. Jesus gave them permission to go into the pigs. I like that, okay? I don't know what it is, but I just like that statement that basically tells us, you know what, Satan can't do anything without God's permission. If God wants him to do something, he's going to do it. You see? Satan is under God's authority, and we need to understand that. You see, too many people get themselves into all kinds of trouble, get all brokenness, and they say, the devil made me do it. Wasn't anything I could do about devil can't do anything to us we don't allow him to do. We've got the power of Jesus in our life. Amen? Okay? Because God is infinitely more powerful than Satan. Okay? That's what Satan has to have. You say, well, wait a minute, what do you mean? You remember the story of Job, don't you? God had to allow Satan to torment Job. He did so only by God's permission. Because Satan is limited in what he can do by God's power. And that in itself ought to give us a tremendous amount of hope, especially when we struggle in brokenness with sin in our lives. Some sin that you struggle with in your life, trying to overcome it, realize that yes, Satan is trying to wreak havoc in your life, but Satan is not as strong as God. And Jesus can help you to overcome that brokenness. We need to remember, Jesus gave Satan permission to go into those things. Okay? Now here's the interesting part as the story continues on. The folks that were there tending to the pigs, they ran off to the village to tell everybody what was going on, okay? And when they, that is the people from the village, came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You have to understand, these folks did not, they didn't know what to do with this demon who is really identified as not just one demon, but a legion of demons. Now, it's interesting to me that if you go back and you look at that particular time, a legion of soldiers generally made up of about 6,000 men. Okay? In a normal legion, it was 3,000 foot soldiers and 3,000 horse soldiers. But a legion was somewhere around 6,000 men. Now, I don't know whether there were 6,000 demons in this man, but his name was Legion, he said, for we are men. And that's what the people of this village had been dealing with as they were trying to bind this man over and over and often, as Mark tells us. And now they come out and they see this man sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that I'm convinced that this man was probably known, well known in the village, in the town that where these people are from, because they came out and they recognized him immediately. How did they recognize him? Because he was as his former self. Before the brokenness, he was restored to his wholeness that he had. Those who had seen had told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and they told them about the pigs as well. Now, we're told in the scriptures that in Luke's account that there were about 2,000 pigs involved in this incident, and they ran after the demons possessed them. They ran over the cliff into the lake, and they drowned. Now think about it for just a moment, because there's another significant part about this. If you were a pig farmer and you had an investment of 2,000 pigs, that's a huge investment, isn't it? That's a huge, huge investment. And you just suffered a huge financial loss. 2,000 pigs just went into the lake and drowned. People were afraid of what they had just seen. They were afraid of what Jesus had done. You think, well, wait a minute, why were they so afraid? You know, this man had these demons, and they weren't concerned about the fact that he no longer has the demons, or they're concerned about the pigs. Well, first of all, we'll talk about this in just a second. These were mostly Gentile people. The Jews didn't deal with pigs. Okay? And you remember some stories that we talked about earlier, like the woman caught in adultery and the man that was born blind. Recently we talked about that, and how concerned were the folks and how joyed were they that, you know, that man that was born blind could now see. They weren't concerned about any of that, were they? And these folks didn't seem to be, at least, concerned about the man having the demons out of him as they were about the loss of their kids. They were afraid. In the Gentile mind at that time, they worshipped a lot of different gods, and they had all kinds of different superstitions about demons and all those kinds of things. And then here comes this person who's able to cast out these demons out of this man that no one else was able to subdue. No one was able to do anything with them. What awesome power this man must have had. And they were afraid. So they asked him to leave the area. Now, the man wants to leave too. Okay? As Jesus was getting into the boat after the people asked him to leave their area, he's getting in the boat and the man comes to Jesus and he asks him to go with him. He wants to go with Jesus, wouldn't you? Absolutely. He wants to go with Jesus, but Jesus' response is no. He wouldn't let him go because Jesus had some work for this man to do. What was that work? Go back. Tell your whole family how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Go back and tell people what you just experienced. Tell people about Jesus and your encounter with him. Well, the man apparently goes back to his family and he tells them, but he doesn't stop there. Mark tells us something that's really important, and I think it's a great lesson for you and I today, okay? Because not only did he go home and tell his family, but he went to the Decapolis. Well, what is the Decapolis? The Decapolis was a whole region, okay, of that part of the country there, of that country where that included 10 major cities. That's why it's called a Decapolis, okay, 10. And this man went to the Decapolis. He went to this whole area telling people about what Jesus had done for him. You look on that map there, that's quite a huge area. Okay? So he didn't just go to his village. He didn't just go to his home and tell his family. He went throughout the whole region, the whole Decapolis, telling people about Jesus. What did he tell them? How much Jesus had done for them, and they were That's the result of this encounter that this demon-possessed man had with Jesus. Not only was he freed from his brokenness, but he shared his experience with everyone else that he could meet. And people were amazed to hear his story. Now, here's the thing. Jesus is already sent you and I to do the same thing. Okay? He doesn't want us to get in the boat with him right now. All right? He sent us to do the same thing he sent this man to do, to go out into the world and preach the good news. Okay? To go out into the world and tell people about Jesus. To go out into the world and to preach the gospel. That's the task that he's given to everyone that belongs to him. Because there are still so many people that are out there that need to hear this truth. So many people that are broken by their sin and separated from God. And so Jesus has work for you and I to continue to do. And the best way that I know of to do that work is the same thing that this man did. And that's why I think this lesson is so important for us. What do we need to do to accomplish this mission, this great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples? We simply need to tell our story. That's what this man did. He went around and told people how much Jesus had done for him. And the result was that people were amazed. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you have a similar story to tell. So is, as we've been saying all along throughout this story, this study rather, every single one of us has been broken. Okay? So we all have a story to tell, don't we? We have a story to tell about how Jesus has fixed our brokenness and saved us from our sin. Jesus wants us to tell our story to others so they too can find Jesus and have their brokenness fixed. And that's what the challenge is for us to do, is to tell our story, what He has done for us. Barron has a song that he's picked out for us to sing as an invitation song. The invitation is extended and open to everyone. If you're not a Christian, you need to understand that you are broken by your sins and separated from God. And you will remain broken until you have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you are ready to make Him Lord of your life, and I encourage you to call upon Him as your Lord and have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, repenting of your sins, and allow Him to fix your brokenness and restore you to a relationship with God. If you're already a Christian, but maybe you're struggling, as we talked about earlier, with some sin that Satan's got you tangled up in, realize and know and understand that you are not too broken for Him to fix. Jesus will take your brokenness away. He will fix it and make you whole again. But as I said, and I've said over and over again, He will not force His way in your life. You've got to give your life to Him again and again as a daily thing. So if that maybe describes you this morning, you have the opportunity to bring that brokenness to Him and allow Him to fix you and to repair that brokenness in your life today. Dale is going to be in the back to receive anyone who would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. I'll be up front to receive anyone who would like to come up front and let us know. We want to help you to be restored to your relationship with God and to have whatever brokenness you might be struggling with, to have that overcome by the power of God.